I think we should wander down during the day, though. Makes for easier sleuthing with the sun out. I'm gonna talk to Wesley first when we get back to camp and see if he has any more information about Beth and...
magic mushrooms?
Right, magic mushrooms. Remind me why I agreed to this crazy assignment?
Because you are a professional with the ability to maintain decorum even in the most bizarre of situations, and you always uncover the truth.
I'm really starting to like you, Eric.
Cool. Want to make out?
What?
Psych! Yeah, no, you're way too old for me.
Hey!
Slater slapped his cell phone shut and shoved it in his front pocket. A call from Frank Neville was never pleasant. The bloke was not rational by any means, but he disguised it with alarming calm. With him threatening to come out to the site, Slater had to cool down Neville's ire before he thought to step foot behind the wheel. He thought he had things under control. Then random dig workers had stumbled onto Frank Neville's private business. And he felt he'd taken control of that problem as well, until that woman from the American television show had arrived all perky and snooping about. One wrong move, and this operation could go up in flames. Striding into the cool shadows of the supply tent, Slater located the security guard he'd found that morning sprawled by the truck. At first, he'd thought Peter Donovan was sleeping on the job, but closer inspection determined he'd taken a beating. The man had whined about some woman with a sword sneaking up on him in the middle of the night. Slater pulled out his pistol and pressed it to the guard's neck. The man startled from a snooze on the cot.
Whoa, mate! What did I do? I told you everything I know.
A feeble woman came creeping about the site late last night and beat you up. Did she have wings, too? You know the old fairy story is just a front. They're not real, idiot.
One of the fair folk? No. She was big. I mean, normal size.
Slater shoved the pistol barrel deeper into flesh.
And she had a 3-foot-long battle sword. Which explains the cut on your neck.
Yes! I told you!
You sure you didn't cut yourself shaving last night, Donovan?
I'm telling the truth, boss.
So why'd you go and call Neville about it after I thought we'd cleared things up? You know I run this camp. You got a problem or concern or someone trespasses, you come directly to me. What about those simple rules don't you comprehend, Donovan?
I'm sorry, boss, I forgot. Neville's number came up first on my phone. I thought he should know.
Yeah? Well, that's my job now, isn't it? Communicating with Neville. Yours is to guard the camp and keep out trespassers. Good work, Donovan. Bang-up job. You fell asleep last night and woke up in the middle of one of your sex fantasies to battle the metal bikini-wearing warrior woman.
No, it wasn't like that. She was real, and she had a kid with her. He was filming, like with a movie camera.
Keep your eyes on the sight and your hand on your gun, not your phone. Got that?
Gotcha.
I need you to be on top of things tonight, Donovan. We have another midnight run. I don't want any witnesses.
No problem, boss. If I see that woman again, I'll shoot her.
No, I don't want you drawing attention to what we're doing here. Detain and secure her, but do not injure her. Just like the others. Got that?
Yeah, sure.
Good boy.
Slater patted the man's cheek with the gun barrel, then turned and strode from the tent. Wielding the 16-digit credit card number that Rue should have been more careful giving to him, Garin stood on the sidewalk before the brownstone. After looking over the 4-story walk-up, sandwiched between 2 equally bland brick-fronted brownstones, he scanned the houses across the street. It was mid-morning. A few dog walkers pranced the sidewalks, but most of the residences appeared unoccupied. Garin noted digital security pads on all the buildings near the front doors. Old wrought iron screen doors preceded most of the entry doors. No doubt the neighborhood was populated by geriatrics who kept a tight fist on their fortunes. He knew little about Mrs. Banyan, who had purchased the painting via a proxy yesterday afternoon. There had been but a few mentions about her on the internet, although he did find generous donations had been made to the Metropolitan Opera and 6 libraries in the various boroughs in her name. Unfortunately, he hadn't managed to obtain Banyan's phone number. Garin knew approaching without a call could be risky, and door-to-door salesmen probably didn't go over at all in this neighborhood. The Delivery Man Act was beneath him, so a direct approach it would be. Buttoning his suit coat so his movement would not reveal the Glock holstered under his arm, he took the steps to Mrs. Banion's residence and rang the buzzer.
Excuse me, who is it?
Mr. Garin Braden. I don't have an appointment, so please forgive me. Mrs. Banion acquired a painting yesterday at Christie's that I am keen to discuss with her. If I could have but a few minutes of her time.
She's not seeing anyone. Mrs. Banion has no interest in
her. I understand, and I certainly do not wish to be a bother, but I've been authorized to double the price she paid for it if she is interested in letting it go.
Long moments passed. Garin was almost ready to buzz again when the front door opened. An emaciated yet tall man in butler's livery managed an ingratiating smile. Money always talked. Anya strode into the cool shade the canvas tent offered. The sun was high and bright, but rain could arrive on the Emerald Isle at any moment. It offered a dream scenario for a dig. Lots of sun during the day, with light rain in the evening to keep the work area moist and workable. Since everyone was out enjoying the weather, Anya had decided to use the opportunity to snoop about the camp base. She hoped to find a clue linked to Beth, or even that the crew was imbibing in magic mushrooms. Wesley's field notes were scattered on a table in a couple of hardback notebooks. Various pieces of wood, pottery, and metal had been sorted into black buckets. A few larger samples lay on the table. Anya had been told that one of the girls had unearthed a carriage wheel rim and had been so excited she'd tripped and bent the frame. Anya touched a plumb bob and measured its solid weight in her palm. It was used to dig level stratigraphy into the earth and for squaring up drawing grids.
No fairy spears. Yet.
Anya set down the tear-shaped lead bob. Suddenly swung about by the shoulder and shoved against a hard plastic packing case, Anya felt the barrel of a pistol against her temple at the same time she processed the fact that Michael Slater had managed to sneak up on her.
What the hell are you up to, Creed?
Taking a look around. Any rule against that? This isn't even your camp. What happened to staying on your own side?
You don't want to start this argument with me, Creed. I don't like you. And you can't convince me you're here only to record a few video clips and push around some dirt.
And don't forget the part about the fairies.
Creed, I have a loaded gun pressed against your temple.
I noticed. Your people skills suck. Anyone ever tell you that? I don't care whether or not you do like me. And I can film where I want. You don't make the rules about that. And yet, when I look over all the people working both digs and involved on the site, one of those things is not like the other. That would be you. You're no archaeologist. What are you, security? Military? You're some kind of soldier, aren't you?
Soldier? You're making assumptions. I'm security. Nothing more.
Yeah? Why the need for such intense security? Most digs I've been on provide a flashlight and walkie-talkie to the security guards. What have you found over there in your little corner of the dig? Something valuable? Gold? Jewels? Diamonds?
I want to know what the hell you and your camera boy are doing traipsing around through private property in the middle of the night.
You're not going to shoot me, because then you'd have to get rid of my blood-dripping body in broad daylight.
There are places on a body that'll take a bullet without producing excess blood loss.
All right, then. Where would you put my not-bleeding-so-much body? Oh, wait. You can stuff me in the back of that truck with all the empty buckets. What, are you mining for something?
I'm not in the mood for jokes, Creed. I'm just lucky you missed the booby traps.
Booby traps? Now you're scaring me. What, a tripwire? Explosives?
Explosives. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt.
Slater smirked and snapped the pistol away from her head. He strode about the tent and turned toward her, but maintained a few paces of distance. It relieved Anya only a little to see him holding the pistol pointing down near his thigh. Definitely military. He didn't drop his shoulders, and he remained alert, ready for whatever leaped his way.
What is your story, Creed? You come marching onto a private dig like you own the place and can do whatever you want.
I was invited here.
By whom?
I'm gathering research for a television program. But I'm not the BBC, so chill.
Research on fairies, right? Go scamper about the woods, why don't you? And leave us to our work here.
And what exactly is that work? The camps have been split for a reason. And I'm guessing that reason is you don't want anyone to know what you're up to over there. You've got something to hide. Is it two bodies? How is it Beth managed to find her way back to camp while the other men are still AWOL?
Slater cocked the pistol, but didn't aim it at her.
Man holding a gun here. Why is it you're not afraid?
Afraid? A charging mountain lion would invoke my fear. Terrorists wielding C-14 makes me afraid. A thug with a gun? Been there, done that, shredded the t-shirt.
If I find out you've been treading on our dig layout again, I won't hesitate to use this.
Slater made a show of waving the gun before tucking it under his arm in the holster.
Oh, big man threatening a woman.
Something tells me that kind of threat is nothing new to Hugh Creed. Call it intuition. Am I right? Thought so.
Back to the question about what you're mining.
Mining? Apparently you missed the memo about requiring large equipment and drills and automated machinery. We've got a little hole, Creed. I'm sure you saw the skeleton sitting on top of the earth. What scares you about that?
Like I said, I don't scare easily. But I do know you weren't pleased to see Beth Gwillem come wandering out of the forest yesterday. What's that about?
You have no clue what I think about, or what concerns me.
Not for lack of trying.
I'm not a man who shows emotion. You probably read my surprise wrong. Is Beth okay?
Recovering. It's not fairies.
Who'd have thought? Are we the only two people in both camps who believe that?
I sure as hell hope not. Why don't we start over, huh? If I come over this afternoon during daylight and ask for a tour around the dig, would you oblige me?
Can't do that, sweetie. We're on a time crunch. Don't think I can find anyone with the free time to cater to your whims.
What's so urgent?
It's just business, Creed. Any other time, any other place.
So that means you'll have a pint with me in the pub later?
Rain check.
The room at the end of the second floor hallway was so humid, Garin felt as if he'd entered a tropical rainforest. Black shades were drawn, and the air smelled like lilacs and menthol. The weight of the scent clogged at the back of his throat. He winced at the underlying smell of sickness.
She's just woken from a rest. She's quite sound of mind, yet age tends to work havoc on her frail bones.
So she's not sick?
Oh, yes. 2 feet in the grave and clinging to life, with but a finger hold, to be sure. You may be seated beside the bed. Madam, this is Mr. Braden, as I've explained. I'll leave the door open and stand outside in the hallway.
A withered hand waved the butler away. Garin pulled the hardback chair around so he could sit facing the woman lying in the bed. Describing her as frail was putting her condition lightly. She looked a ghost of a ghost. Long silver hair streamed across the white satin pillowcase. One would guess her a child swallowed up by the lace-trimmed bedsheets. But when she smiled at him, Garin felt her joy touch his heart and warm it ever so slightly.
Such a treat! Are you an angel come to take me away?
Sorry, Mrs. Banyan, but I am the farthest thing from an angel.
Well, that makes things so much more interesting, doesn't it? My name is Ruth. You've come about my painting?
Garin followed Ruth's gaze down the bed and to the wall facing it. There it hung. Remarkable evidence that detailed a devastating moment from history. It had been a long time since he'd seen the work. Garin stood and approached the painting. He almost touched it, but did not. That Fouquet had sketched the scene at the moment of its occurrence, and then retained such a vivid memory of it to paint decades later, did not cease to stun him.
I was late to the auction yesterday. I wanted to acquire the Fouquet. It's very speculative. It is a reclusive piece, though. It's never been a part of Fouquet's known works.
Which makes it all the more valuable. I've wanted it for years. You should know. I've got a connection to it.
A connection? Tell me about it.
Garin sat again and leaned an elbow onto the bed. It felt right to clasp her hand, and he did.
I've always had an interest in the saint. Ever since I first wrote a report on her in high school, she was so determined, unwilling to accept defeat. I modeled my life after her, striding forward with grace and determination.
Remarkable. I've got a connection as well. I don't wish to be rude, Ruth, but I wonder how much longer you'll have to enjoy it.
Days, surely. What's your connection?
My great-great-great, many more countless greats grandfather actually posed in that painting.
Huh? But how is that possible?
Garin slipped his hand from hers and walked over to the painting. Standing beside the Fouquet, he waited as she looked at both him and it.
I see. It is true. And you wish to deny a dying woman a few final days of happiness by taking away the one thing that means the most to her?
How can it have acquired so much meaning to you in so little time? As I told your butler, I can offer you twice what was paid for it.
I've no need for money now, Mr. Braden. What do you think I will do with $1,000,000 if I have but 2 days?
Charity? You seem like a generous woman, Ruth. An endowment to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in your name, perhaps?
Ruth closed her eyes, tapping her fingers upon her chest. Garin couldn't know what she was thinking.
Any charity?
Just name the organization and it will be done.
Ruth smiled, and it was wicked.
Come closer, Mr. Braden. There may be something you can do for me after all.
Anya set up her laptop under the canopy next to the dig. Thanks to a satellite card, she could grab an internet connection even in the middle of rural Ireland. Eric had uploaded the segments he'd filmed of the landscape and scenery for her to proof. She'd check those later. Now she searched Frank Neville to see what she could find. 3 search results produced websites, but she suspected Neville's nutritious nuts was probably not the organization funding this dig. Nor did 12-year-old Frank and his collection of vacuum cleaners hit the target. Typing in Michael Slater brought up another scatter of sites and unlikely professions. As she looked through them, Wesley appeared by her side.
Can you look up a map for me, Anya?
Let me guess. Ireland, 19th century?
I'm interested in the survey of land during the potato famine. New World is being slower than molasses to answer my requests. Actually, I think I'm on my own.
No problem. I've got satellite. You get lab results back on the soil sample.
Later today. I'm driving to Cork. You want to come along?
I might, thank you. I stopped at the hospital yesterday, but they're only allowing relatives.
Maybe I can get you in to see her.
How is that possible if they're only allowing relatives? You and Beth were close?
Like I said.
Before you answer that, a man I met in one of Ballybeg's pubs told me, and supposedly it's a well-known rumor, that you and Beth had a thing.
It was a one-night thing, Anya. I didn't think my sex life was important to your investigation.
It's not, but did you and Beth have an argument? Did she have any reason to wander off?
Because of me? Hell no.
So why didn't you tell me?
Because that's exactly what I thought people would think. That I did something to put her in danger. Slater said as much.
Slater?
He threatened me to keep quiet about it all, or he'd tell everyone I hit Beth.
That's why you two were fighting when I arrived.
Yes. I was protecting Beth's reputation more than mine. She's just a kid, Anya. Well, you know, she's legal, but only 20. You aren't going to film Beth in the hospital.
I'm not sure. I'd never force her to do an interview unless she was of sound mind and knew exactly what she was agreeing to. I have compassion, Wesley. I would never harass someone just for a sensational story.
Anya tapped a few keys and brought up a site of historical maps.
Did I see you and Slater chatting earlier?
He's not exactly the chatty sort. More of a what-the-hell-are-you-doing-in-my-air kind of guy, you know?
Yeah, he's an arsehole. My goal is to keep the terms between us good. He does have the gun.
And, obviously, the upper hand. Is he trying to push you off the dig completely?
Wesley leaned in to command the keyboard and scrolled through the list of maps the geological site brought up.
I don't intimidate easily, Anya. And I will not be chased away with my tail between my legs. I'm here on behalf of New World, no matter who supposedly runs the dig now. And until New World tells me to back off, I'm staying. But I feel as though they've abandoned me.
The company hasn't been in contact with you? To give directions as to whether to stay or pack up?
Nope.
Anya glanced over to the opposing camp. Slater's stick-straight profile was nowhere in sight, but the camp had erected a canvas tarp with rope run through grommets along the east side of the dig that basically served as a wall to keep the other camp from seeing what was going on.
Here's what I need. A land survey dated 1851. I have a printer in the back of the Jeep. Can we make a connection?
Connection?
The man's eyes were so blue. Blue set against suntanned flesh and underlined by a movie star's smile.
Earth to Anya. Where were you right now?
The printer. Just wondering if... Yes, we can make that connection. Let's go see what we need to do.
Anya grabbed the laptop and marched toward the Jeep as Wesley strode alongside her.
You want to see Slater at his finest?
What does that mean?
It's Saturday night. You can find him, myself, and a few others from the dig in Cork at the Bones Club. It's Bare Fists night.
Bare Fists? A fight club? You still got a cut lip from the other day.
Yeah, but I think that was from Collins. Slater's a gut puncher. If you lose against him, you'll be walking bent over for days and won't be able to keep food down. I ate groats for 4 days in a row after my first match against him a few weeks back.
So let me get this straight. You all are enemies, mastering your individual digs and spearing each other with the evil eye during the week. Then on the weekend...
The gloves come off. It's good-natured, though. We shake beforehand and after. Man shouldn't enter the fight with anger. Only the need to test his own skills.
After the fight I witnessed upon arriving, I have to wonder if you and Slater can go at it good-naturedly.
Well then, we'll have to stop in for a look. You come along, I'll buy you a pint afterward.
Deal. I think I'll pass on the ride to Cork, though. I'm going to head into town early. I'll meet you there?
Sure. Here's the address.
Wesley explained how to find the clubhouse, which was more of a gym than a fancy club.
10 o'clock. Tell the bruiser at the door you're with me.
The Emerald Isle has long been known for gorgeous landscapes, mysterious and mystical rock formations, and even a leprechaun or two. This isn't working.
It's working, Anya. Just go with it. We need an opening segment.
Right.
Assuming professional TV host mode, she pasted on a smile and repeated the opening monologue to the Chasing History's Monsters episode. They finished 10 minutes later, and Anya felt drained as she and Eric hiked to the Mini Cooper.
It's people, not fairies. People with guns, I'm sure.
Just because the guy wants to protect himself doesn't mean he's capping people, Anya. Slater's cool.
Really? I saw him yelling at you yesterday. Is it his Rolex or his smart-ass attitude that impresses you so much?
Anya, he's just doing his job. I mean, obviously, whatever they're digging for is valuable.
Any artifact can prove a value. But most of the time, that value isn't proven until much later, after the dig has been backfilled and the artifacts have been studied in a lab. We saw a skeleton less than a foot under the topsoil, Eric. That doesn't make it old. For all we know, it could have been a hiker who went missing 10 years ago.
That's callous.
But it's a possibility, and we have to examine all possibilities before arriving at a truth. There's no reason for security unless it's been proven items of value have been uncovered. I want to know what Slater's team has uncovered.
Do you always use company time to go off on your own and do side projects, Anya?
I'm gonna forget you just said that.
Sorry. But seriously, you're on Doug's dollar, or rather my father's.
Your father?
Eric shifted on the seat. He scanned the horizon, avoiding her eyes. The sky was gray and promised imminent rain.
I'm not following. What does your father have to do with this trip to Ireland? I thought it was just a box of cigars he sent along for Daniel. Eric?
My dad is financing this trip. He provided the tickets here and is paying for room and board for me. He wanted me to get a good start in the business, and Chasing History's Monsters is my favorite show.
So Doug was bribed? Why does that sound so believable? Was the other cameraman even sick?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Doug about that. I wanted to do an amazing project for my final exam. My media teacher is going to love this stuff.
Are you a college freshman? Don't tell me.
All right, I won't, but it would so rock if you'd come to my high school graduation, Anya. My friends would get such a kick out of meeting you.
Are you telling me the truth that your father knows all about this?
Definitely.
And he's cool with his son taking time off from school to do this project?
It's spring break, Anya, if you haven't noticed.
Next time we hit the pub, you are drinking soda.
Oh, come on, Anya. I'm 18.
The drinking age is 21.
It's 18 in Ireland. My father raised me with European aesthetics. I've been drinking beer for years.
Whatever. I am not your mother.
Though Cork was the third largest city in Ireland and was a major seaport, it was easy enough to navigate if you didn't have to cross the River Lee. The river spread through the city in two channels, forming an island of the city's center, much like Paris. And Anya guessed if you had to go anywhere fast, you'd have to constantly cross bridges. The hospital Beth had been admitted to was on the west edge, so she needn't venture too far into the city. After she'd wrapped filming, she intended to finagle a day of sightseeing here before returning to the States. But tonight was all about the Fight Club. Anya parked in the shade of the hospital parking lot.
Wait here while I go in to see if there's a chance of catching Beth coherent and not surrounded by militant nuns.
About 15 minutes later, Anya returned to the car.
Learn anything?
I managed to peek in her room, but she's still out of it. She's listed as serious condition. That's very odd. I never thought LSD could be so dangerous.
Anya navigated an intersection and noted the white van that had been following for a couple blocks turned the same direction. There were no plates, and the windows were blacked out. If that wasn't suspicious, she'd eat Mrs. Riley's black pudding for breakfast tomorrow without complaint. Checking the rearview mirror, Anya verified that the white van still followed them. She turned right, the van turned right. She kept pace with the minimal traffic and eyed an alleyway set between a closed automotive shop and a music store. With her turn, the van also turned. They were not being covert at all. It was as if they wanted her to know they were following. That made them either stupid or looking to talk. Eric looked up from his camera. He'd been reviewing video.
What's up?
Nothing.
Your knuckles are white and you keep checking the mirrors.
We're being followed.
Followed?
Anya slapped an arm across Eric's chest before he could completely turn in his seat to look out the rear window.
By who?
I don't know, but don't be so obvious. Stay calm. And can you film the van covertly?
Covert? Yeah, no problem.
Eric positioned the camera between the seats.
Dude, there's no plates on the van. Is this normal for the show segments, all the stealth and covert sneaking about?
To a degree. Depends on who you talk to and if you ask the wrong questions. But honestly, no, this is not normal.
Two men sat in the front of the van. Anya had no idea if there were others in the back. She didn't spot weapons, but that didn't mean there weren't any. Anya suddenly slammed on the brakes to avoid a bicycle crossing against a red light. The geriatric cyclist didn't even glance at the vehicle that had almost killed him. Steady and straight on, he continued his lethargic crossing.
All right, enough filming. Time for you to buckle up.
Anya turned away from the main streets and aimed for what she hoped would be a less populated neighborhood. She missed a stop sign, and Eric directed her left. She turned right. She saw the glint of a pistol jut out the passenger window of the van.
Here we go. Head down!
Anya slapped her palm against the back of Eric's head as a bullet pierced the rear window. Eric slid down as far as the seatbelt would allow.
They're shooting at us! What did we do? Is this about filming on the dig?
It had better be. Hold on.
Swerving sharply, the Mini's tires thudded against the curb as she entered a tight alley. Too late, Anya saw her mistake. The alley was a dead end, sided by brick walls. Laundry hung across three or four lines from the second floor up to the fourth. The white van barreled up behind them and braked to a stop.
What now? This isn't cool anymore. They have guns!
I don't want to do this with you. I can't risk you being hurt. Sorry about this, Eric.
Eric slumped on the seat. Anya shoved him farther down so his head was below the window level and out of risk for catching a bullet aimed at her. Kicking open the driver's door, she stepped out. She ducked behind the open car door.
Walker, did you? He said not for...